Well, I want to ask you again to pray for me this morning as I try to bring before you the things that the Lord has placed upon my heart. I want to call your attention to begin with to some scripture found in the first chapter of Paul's epistle to the Galatians. Galatians chapter 1, and I want to read a few verses beginning with verse 11. If you want to read along with me, turn there in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1, beginning with verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. And I'm going to stop reading there with that verse, and also want to read a few verses out of the third chapter of Paul's letter to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 4. Paul wrote and said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Now listen to this next verse. But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. I want to use a title today, and that being religious yet lost. Religious yet lost. I want to talk about as Paul did here, and what he was really professing here in these places that I have read. He spoke about here in the first chapter of Galatians that I have read, how that, you know, Paul was not only a very religious man before his conversion, but he was a religious zealot. I mean, he was really zealous in the Pharisee religion. And he says that to the Galatians when he wrote to them, how that here he's calling it the Jews' religion. And he talks about how that he profited above many of his brethren, many of my equals in my own nation. And he said he was more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of his Jewish fathers than many of his own countrymen were. The Apostle Paul essentially is saying here that there was a time, had been a time in his life, and if we break down what I have read from the first chapter of Galatians and the third chapter of Philippians, what Paul is really saying here is that there was a time in my past when I was really, really religious. I was really a very zealous Pharisee, and then I got saved. Now that's essentially what he is professing here, that he was a very, very religious person, but yet he was lost. He did not really know the Lord. Paul spoke about these same people, his kinsmen, according to the flesh, the Jews. He spoke about them in the 10th chapter of Romans. In the first couple of verses of the 10th chapter of Romans, Paul speaking about them, he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." And, you know, what he was actually saying there was, I bear them record that they are an extremely religious, zealous people towards the things of God, but they don't know him. They are zealous, but not according to knowledge. And he went on and he said, for they being ignorant, and listen, this is where so many people in the world are at today from a spiritual standpoint. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, the only way that anybody is going to get to heaven is to submit themselves unto the righteousness of God. Because nobody is ever going to make it based upon their own righteousness. Our righteousness, Isaiah said, are as filthy rags in the sight of God. And so we don't possess righteousness that will justify us before the Lord. It's the righteousness of Christ that we must depend upon. Now I wrote this down and I'm going to share this with you. And I realize that this may seem strong to many people, but you know the truth is the truth is the truth. And it's already been said here today, we need to stand for the truth. And so I made note of this in my study. I'm going to say today of a truth to you that you can attend the services of a church every time they assemble and be lost. You can be baptized. You can take communion every week. You can sing in the church choir. You can give an offering from your income every time they pass the plate. You can be a Sunday school teacher. You can be ordained to be a deacon. You can enroll in and attend a seminary and gain a degree and possibly even become known among many people as the greatest preacher of all time and be lost and without the Lord. You can do all of those things, and sadly enough, those things happen all the time. There are people that are doing the very things. We heard Sister Lori's testimony about Lisa Hardcastle this morning, how that there was a time when that was what she was looking to. That's what she was depending on, was being part of a church or having somebody baptize her. But you can do all of those things and not have a right relationship with the Lord. The Apostle Paul, people that he talked about, the Pharisees, they essentially believed in justification by their own deeds. They essentially believed that salvation was wrought by keeping doing the deeds of the law, by not transgressing. You know, if the law said, don't do this, not do it. If the law said, do this, then to do it. And that's how they believed that they were justified before God, by their own doings. But listen, the law was never even for that purpose. If there had been a law that had given life, then verily righteousness would have been by the law. The law was to show us our sin. It was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And it was never, purpose of the law was never to justify anybody before God. The Apostle Paul made this very plain, that we are either saved by grace or we're saved by works. It cannot be both. You cannot have a mixture of them. It would either have to be by grace or by works. And so the Bible tells us in the second chapter of the Ephesian letter that it's, we are not saved. We are, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now the Apostle Paul, in his writing to Titus, in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, he said, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now listen, you cannot perform the washing of regeneration upon yourself. You just cannot do it. I realize that what I have said today, I realize is not taught, is not stated, I should say, in these exact words in the Bible. But I'm telling you that it is taught all throughout the Scriptures that salvation is the gift of God, and only God can give it. And when God gives it to anybody, it's only given because of His grace. That nobody ever deserves it. Nobody ever does anything to merit that. Has there ever been a single person that has been saved that God looked down upon them and said, that person is good enough, that person has enough righteousness within them, that person has done enough good works, they deserve to be saved, and so I'm going to save them. God never does that. Amen. He looks down upon us in pity and in mercy. And I'm telling you, if you're here today, and I can tell you this by the authority of God's word, and thank God today, I can tell you this by experience. I'll tell you what, I love the word of God. I do. I love the word of God, but it doesn't take the place of what I have experienced in my heart. God is real. I'm telling you, He's real, and He does real things in the lives of real people. And if you will come before Him today realizing that you are a sinner, that you're lost and separated from Him, and you'll repent of your sins to the satisfaction of God, and you'll put all your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, He will save you just like He saved me and just like He saved many others. And when that happens to you, you'll fully realize that there's nothing you ever could have done to deserve such a wonderful gift. I realize that today. that there's nothing I could have ever done to deserve the gift of salvation. It is totally by God's grace. Let me tell you something. There is absolutely no external religious exercise that anybody can ever do to justify themselves before God. The Bible teaches that. I preach that. I hear many other of my brethren preach that. And this church here believes that and stands for that. And I pray that we will stand on the truth, no matter how unpopular that it becomes, that we will stand for the truth. Because listen, people need to hear the truth. I'm talking about the plain truth of God. I'm talking about people that proclaim it, that are able by the help of God to study and rightly divide the word of truth. And we need to stand for that no matter what the world around us believes. Because I'll tell you what, the truth, when people hear the truth, if they'll believe it and they'll embrace it, it'll set them free. The truth will set you free. These are the words of Jesus. This is how he taught this. And certainly the way that the Lord expresses things is far better than what I could do. But this is how Jesus taught this in Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 21. These are his words. These are two, these words are two, and they're about those that were just like what the Apostle Paul spoke of, that he had been in his life. Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you." No, doesn't make any difference what you have done. I mean, these are some pretty heavy things that the Lord was talking about here. Prophesying in his name, casting out devils in his name. But it doesn't make any difference what it is, because we cannot be saved by our own goodness. We don't have any. From God's perspective, spiritually, the way God sees us, the Bible says that he looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that were good, to see if there were any that were following after righteousness. God looked down upon the children of men to see if there was anybody that was deserving of his salvation. And you know what the Bible says that he found? That there is none. No, not one. I'm telling you today, if you have come to that time in your life that you realize that you're lost, I'm telling you that the only thing that will rescue you, the only way that you can be saved, is to come to the Lord. You know, we read about in the 18th chapter of Luke about two men that went up into the temple to pray, one of them a Pharisee, the other a publican, and the publican all, or the Pharisee rather, all he was doing was boasting about himself, boasting about his own goodness, boasting about his own works, justifying himself before God. I give tithes of all that I possess. I fast twice in the week. Lord, I'm thankful that I'm not like other men. He did not think he was a sinner at all. I'm thankful that I'm not like other men. I do all these things. I'm thankful that I'm not like this publican, this tax collector here. But the publican, the Bible says that he would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm going to tell you something today, that we have wicked hearts, and that must be changed. We must be changed. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. And we must be changed. We must have that change that can only come from the operation of God upon our hearts. And then we can do these things. Then we can receive scriptural baptism. Then we can take communion. Then we can give of our offerings to the Lord, and they will mean something. But when you do that without that relationship, I'm telling you, friends, it don't mean a thing. If that's what you're depending upon, you'll be just as lost as the person that's out here living the vilest life that they can live. Don't count on yourself. Look to the Lord. He has mercy, and He will abundantly pardon. I'm going to say this. I'm thankful for the children that sang today. Some of our kids, as it's been said, went to the Do-Re-Mi school, and they learned about shape notes. They learned about the rudiments of music. They learned about singing. They're learning about four-part harmony. And they're coming up here and they're singing. And I want them to know that I support them in that. And I want them to continue to do that. But listen, I need to say this. Some of you that are doing that have admitted that you're lost and without the Lord. There have been times even here in our services that you've been seeking the Lord and you haven't yet professed that you have experienced salvation from the Lord, that you haven't yet been saved. And let me say this. Let me warn you to not let that confuse you because learning about singing and standing up at church and singing and coming up in the choir and singing will not ever justify you before God. You need to keep seeking the Lord until you find Him and until you can come up here and stand before us and sing and know what you're singing about. And know what it means to be saved by the grace of God. Let me tell you something. I love to hear good singing, but I'm telling you that the greatest of all singing, the greatest attribute of singing is not accomplished in four-part harmony. It's accomplished by people that have a heart full of the love of God and can sing and know the one that you're singing about. Don't let anything that you're doing cloud the issue. Don't let anything ever distract you and take your mind off of the fact that if you're still lost, you still need to be saved, and you need that more than you need anything. Oh, the people that are going to stand before God one day, having spent their life here, thinking that everything was well with them, having spent their life here thinking that it was well between them and God because they were a religious person, spent their time on earth, with external religious exercises from week to week, thinking that everything was all right with them, only to find themselves one day stand before God in the day of His righteous judgment and hear the Lord say to them, "Get away from me, depart from me, because I don't know you. You're not my child. That's sad to me. I mean, I'll tell you what, every time I read those verses in Matthew chapter 7, it saddens my heart. Every time I read them, to think that there are people, so many people, that will stand before God and try to justify themselves. And it's not going to work. It's just not going to work. Jesus, while he was here on earth, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus that came to him one time at night. Acknowledged him as a teacher, rabbi, master. We know that you're a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. And this man was a very religious man. Nicodemus was a very religious Pharisee. And you know what Jesus told him? Nicodemus, you're lacking something. You must be born again. You must have an experience with God. Do you have that today? I'm thankful that I have that experience with God. I'm thankful that my hope is built on Jesus and nothing and nobody else. I'm thankful that I'm not depending today upon myself to get me to heaven when this life is over. My hope is built on the righteousness of Christ and nothing less than that. I'm not depending upon anything that I've done. I'm depending upon what he did for me when I came before him, a broken sinner, condemned in my sin, and cried out to a mighty God. I'll tell you what, this stuff, I'm just going to be honest with you, this stuff of people thinking, sinners thinking that they can just accept Jesus is ridiculous. Where in the world did a ruined sinner, somebody that doesn't deserve anything at all from God, ever get the idea that they could accept a perfect Savior? That doesn't even make sense, does it, Brother Lowe? But I'll tell you what, Jesus, that righteous, perfect Savior accepting us, that makes all the sense in the world. That I'll be merciful to you. I'll accept you. I'll take you in. And he'll do that. Thank God that he will abundantly pardon. You need a sinner. You need salvation. You know, I came here today with a prayer on my heart that you would be willing, if you're here today and you don't have it, if you're here today and you're lost, that you would be willing to seek the Lord. You be willing to turn to him and trust him for the salvation of your soul. Will you do that while we have a song? Will you come to the Lord? You're welcome to come up here and pray. You're welcome to pray where you're at. But the important thing is that you turn to Jesus and you trust him, not yourself. Don't trust in anything that you've done or that you're doing, but trust in yourself for the salvation of your soul while we sing.
Number 3.